Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. Here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at Skate. Now, if you recall last week, we did over-under on C2E2. So, since we've actually gone now we're going to just do a little... we're just going to talk about C2E2 for a little bit. It's not going to be your normal shows. We'll get back to the normal shows next week. But for now... We're gonna tell you about the greatest Comic-Con in the area. Or is it? I don't know. Let's find out. Transmitter
circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Alright, so unlike last year, we were unable to acquire press passes. Because that was weak sauce. And, you know, I really wasn't planning on going to C2E2 this year. But at the last minute, Mike asked me what was the plan for C2E2. And I told him there is no plan. I'm not going. And he was like, come on. I'm like, all right, fine. You make a good point. Let's do this. So, you know, I mean, Saturday tickets were $40. You know what I mean? And it might sound high. Like, I don't know where you guys are listening from. I don't know what your major cons cost. But around here, the two major ones are C2E2 and Wizard World. Now, Wizard World, if you want to go on a Saturday, it's like $80. So I feel like $40 to get into C2E2 or $75 for a three-day pass is well worth the price compared to what your options are around here. So, you know, we got there and, you know, we got our little placards and the little, we're giving away these gigantic bags that were ridiculously impossible to carry. But they're free. So what are you going to do? I didn't bring a bag. I didn't bring my camera. I didn't plan on quote unquote working the day. You know, I'm thinking, well, if I'm spending $40 to go in, I'm not going to buy a ton of books that I always do. I always buy a ton of comics and then they just add them to my pile and I read them slower than molasses because I'm trying to do a million things at once all the time. I'm just going to buy dumb shit. Not dumb shit, but like, you know, stuff I don't have to read more or less. And that's kind of what I did. So I was pretty happy about that. And, I will have to say, walking around, I couldn't have been happier that I decided to go because it really is just a fantastic show. And again, I don't know what it's like with other shows as far as panels. I don't know if you guys got to pay for them or whatever, but everything here is, once you're in. You can, you know, so once I walk...
panels are free anywhere.
I think for the most part, too, but I think some of the, you know, higher ones, maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
I think it's pretty much just first come, first serve. If you get to the big Batman panel late, they'll tell you, sorry, it's full, can't go in. Maybe standing room only, I don't know.
That's probably sounds about right. But, you know, up until last year, I never went to a panel, you know. And then all last year at C2E2, I spent almost probably a whole day running around the panels. Between the 3 days, you know, going to a different panel every day, two panels this day, three panels that day. And even when we went to that that really, really extremely small pulp and paper convention last year, I still went to their quote-unquote film festival and was watching some, like, 1950s sci-fi movie that was awesome. But, you know, after I walked the floor, I walked the main floor. I walked Artist Alley. I wandered around. I'm like, you know what? I don't really feel like spending money just yet. It's still kind of early. I know these guys, are, you know, Mike just got here. Brian and Chris are kind of doing their own thing. I don't want to fucking be all like, I'm ready to go. So I just wandered upstairs just because I had no idea what panels were even playing. So I just started stopping, you know, reading the board at every room. And lo and behold, oh, here we go. DC Essentials starts in 2 minutes. So I guess I'm going into this. And I went in and I went to a couple of DC panels last year. And it's the same guy hosting them last year, hosted them again this year. And I'm thinking to myself halfway through the show, I'm like, that guy... he's got, like, my dream job. All he does is sit around, talk to the artists, talk to the creators, go to cons across the country, talk to the fans, read comics, and just... basically, I would assume he's just a PR person who gets to read comics and hang out with the artists and creators all day.
What if he gets in trouble if he brings, like, an Image book to work and is sitting in the lunchroom reading Southern Bastards? They're like, get that shit out of here!
That very well may be, but they did pick up, what, Vertigo now? So
Vertigo has been a DC imprint forever.
Well, there you go. So you can you can easily read Vertigo at your desk and not get yelled at. Cause
that is true, because I started Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol this morning, and it's exactly as weird as I hoped it would, and I just started it. So.
Well, here's the... Well, and that was the thing. It was the DC Essentials panel was basically... I forget who exactly was on the panel, like artist-wise, but it's basically... Just an hour-long panel of these are the essential DC graphic novels that you should read. Brian, just
I saw you grab the book.
Well, they handed it to us as we walked in.
The book. So let's peruse this thing and see what they got.
And it was kind of funny because, you know, on top of making this booklet, as far as like these are the essential DC books that you should probably check out, they also asked all the creators on stage, like, okay, what would you think is the best Superman book? What do you think is the best Batman book? And they were going, like, the couple of the guys on the panel, like, the one guy was pretty old. So, you know, he's been reading comics probably since before comics even started. So he was getting some deep cuts. But there was someone else on the panel. I wish I could remember who it was, but he was going deep with a lot of stuff, bringing up a lot of stuff that, you know, even half the people in the crowd were like, huh? What are you talking about? So, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I like panels, and it's just, it's a fun time. God, I mean, I don't sound like a fucking nerd, but I mean, DC puts on a great panel. You know,
it's a pretty good panel.
They were showing videos, you know, from all the because after they
and Marvel is bombing in the last year or so.
Never been to a Marvel panel. You know why?
I'm just talking about their books. They're like, oh, here's Thor, here's awesome Thor, here's super Thor, here's rad Thor.
They're getting a little ridiculous with some of it, but I do read Thor.
I'm just saying,
Thor would actually be cruel.
DC can lean on the Hanna-Barbera license. They can lean on the Vertigo license. Yeah. They can lean on Wildstorm. They can also lean on Young Animal. They've got a lot of options in terms of.
But and see, and this story is what amazes me because I mean, monetarily speaking, Marvel's got way more money than DC. How come they never do these panels? They're owned by Disney. Disney owns more money than the planet.
Warner Brothers owns DC.
Yeah, Disney is bigger than Warner Brothers.
Not by a ton. I mean, they're big, but yeah.
Don't make me pull up Google and do a comparison here.
Well, Marvel sold to Disney for, I think, $4 billion, and DC sold to Warner Brothers for like $3.5 billion. So, anyway, we could run through this list of graphic novels if you want to just... we did it way back when we first started this podcast.
I don't care.
We just like kind of dance through it real quick. So the first one is Watchmen. I say yes. No one else seems to agree. Okay. Second one is Batman the Killing Joke.
Yeah. Okay, both are awesome, the ones you mentioned, so...
Let's see what else is in here. Batman the Dark Knight Returns. Loved it the first time. Second time, liked it. Didn't love it as much, but I still like to own it again. Next one, Sandman Volume 1, Preludes and Nocturnes. Now here's what I'll say about that. Sandman... That's great, thanks. Sandman, I want to say volume 4 or 5 is really, for me, where that series really just takes off. The first book is good, but it's not the best. What else have we got in here? V for Vendetta.
Love it. Read it twice.
Yep. I'm actually just skipping around. I'm not going to do all 25. Batman Hush. That was all right. Preacher, Volume 1, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Year 1, also yes. Let's see what else.
Just a quick FYI, 2015, revenue stream for Warner Brothers was like $13, $14 billion. Disney, the same year, was $180 billion.
All right, fine, whatever. Why don't you just rain on my parade?
Hashtag nailed it.
I'm looking through this 25 essentials list, which they've clearly updated because some of the stuff was not out when we went through this list at the very, very beginning of this podcast inception.
Right.
Some of the stuff, sorry, I beg to differ. I'm seeing some holes here. Yeah.
Well, you can't just say that and not explain yourself.
Okay. Don't get all fucking upset.
I'm intrigued. Everyone in the car is like, what is he talking about?
For example, Batman Earth 1. I mean, I'm sure it's okay, but essential? I don't know. Wonder Woman, the first Brian Azzarello trade? I don't know about that. DC Rebirth, the deluxe edition?
It was good.
It was definitely a good one-shot.
Yeah.
But to call that a graphic novel just because they printed an oversized hardcover of it and sold it for $20, not to be crass, suck my dick. Batman Long Halloween, big time. A lot of this stuff is New 52 stuff, which I'm sorry, I don't feel like it's been around long enough to qualify. You got to stick around like a Sandman. A Sandman is still a thing. 27 years later, it's still like a hot book. That is essential. Watchmen, 30 plus years, still like a top book. To me, if your book's been out for 5 years and you've sold 100,000, great. Doesn't mean it's essential, though. What if in 25 years people are like, Court of what? Owls? Fuck that thing. See what I'm talking about? Just Injustice, Gods Among Us, based on a video game?
Well, because they're plugging the new video game.
I get that, but that doesn't... If this is the 25 best books DC has to offer, they're missing
stuff. They can plug my butt.
There's holes here.
Oh, yeah.
Sandman Overture? Sorry, this book is 3 years old, and I'm going to go ahead and say it sucked. Art was amazing, though. Flashpoint? Maybe. This list is... This list, to me, smacks mostly of, here's our latest and greatest. Buy these, because still have a ton. But to me... DC Vertigo has more books that are actually essential than what's here.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a single Swamp Thing trade in here. Alan Moore's Swamp Thing can go in here. Len Wein's Swamp Thing can go in here.
Well, they talked about that stuff.
Animal Man.
Animal Man's not in here.
They talked about that in the panel.
This is a flawed list, people.
That is a sales piece, so they can sell the books that are in there.
Oh, I get that. I'm just saying, this is a flaw.
Grant Morrison's Animal Man put Animal Man back on the map.
Yeah, Grant Morrison's Animal Man, Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, all those books qualify as essential. I don't really see the other being on there, though. 100 Bullets, I'm sorry, as much as that series kind of fell off the map towards the end, I'd say the first four volumes of 100 Bullets are near perfect.
Yeah, I was going to say first five.
Probably the first nine are actually all good, but the first four or five are, like, practically perfect. I don't know. I think they got to rethink that book.
Northlanders could be on there, too.
Northlanders could be on there, yep.
I would say at the bottom 25, but at least, you know.
Yeah, it's still those first couple of Northlanders books are great, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Enough about
DC. Spaceman definitely not on there.
Definitely not on there. Well, it wasn't on there anyway.
All right.
So anyway, what else did we see at C2E2? When we pulled in, I was super pumped for about a minute. Because although cosplay is a big deal at pretty much every convention, big or small, I saw two grown adults dressed up like teddy bears, and I was super, super pumped because I'm like, finally, furries! Now, it was that Five Nights at Freddy's game, characters from that, but for a minute I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get my picture taken with real life furries, I can't wait, it's gonna be awesome. Cosplay, I didn't see a whole lot of. I mean, I saw a lot of it, but I didn't see a lot of it in terms of like staring at it going, oh man, that's really cool. Really cool Hellboy costume, a couple of others, but I was in a blur looking for a Transformer for my boss's grandson, couldn't find that. But a couple of standout moments. A lot more publishers there this year. Oni Press had a booth, which was cool. Didn't get a chance to check it out, but it was cool to see them. IDW had a booth, and I was really pumped until I actually saw how small it was. I don't think they anticipated the size because their booth was about the size as if they were advertising, oh, we invented new socks, and check them out.
It was about the size of a lemonade stand.
Yeah, it was super small. Well, because I've seen pictures of IDW's booth at, like, San Diego, and they got these giant sprawling booths with, like,
they might have got in late and got what they could. You know what I mean?
I think that they probably go, well, let's just test the waters. I mean, it's C2E2. It's not New York Comic Con. Well, they got there, and they probably went, oh, shit, this is way bigger than we expected. I don't know why you would think that. I mean, it's Chicago. I mean,
because nobody cares about Chicago cons. It's only
I don't buy that.
San Diego, it's New York, it's San Francisco.
Seattle.
San Francisco.
I don't know. Just,
San Francisco is
nobody
like,
cares about, like Ricky Gervais says, no one cares about the middle bits. They just want the two coasts.
Chicago's not middle bits.
It is. It's still in one of the flyover states.
It's next to flyover states. I don't know. Have you ever been to Iowa? Iowa's a cool state.
I've been there.
Yeah. Iowa's cool. Shut up, Ry.
I'm just saying, people, Chicago is very underrated in the grand scheme of things.
I disagree, but that's a different conversation. My point is, I don't think they really grasped how big C2E2 is, because it's gotten out of control. They need to expand somehow, find a way, expand that floor space. It's gotten just overcrowded now.
They've got more than enough floor space.
Nope. Too crowded this year. It was insanity.
No, I'm saying they've got more.
Oh no, they in the off. in the
they
hall.
Got that gigantic family area. They
need to open up a second room and put some weird stuff, put some stuff somewhere else. But anyway, back to the IDW booth. Super small. They did have the lock and key library editions, which I am dying to get. But their whole pitch, because they're $50 books. Their whole pitch was, oh, it's got the exclusive con cover. I'm like, oh, okay, what's the exclusive con cover? It's the same cover, but it's a pencil sketch. And I'm like, okay, and how much? He goes, $50. I'm like, for all three, $50 a piece. I'm like, there's not even like a con deal. And all it is a black and white sketch of the color version of the same exact book that I can get at the comic book store. Well, yeah, but I mean, you'll never get the con exclusive. I'm like, nope, next. So... And oddly enough, the guy told me, he's like, yeah, we were down to our last three. He's like, we brought a lot, but not as many as we probably should have now that we're here. It's Saturday late morning, and they're almost all gone. I'm like, well, see, again, you did not anticipate how big this thing is. That's your problem.
See, and that's just the thing. The people, maybe it's not a thing anymore, but I feel like Comic-Con's where you're supposed to go, especially when you're spending $40 just to get in the door. The booths are supposed to cut deals. Like, I got the first two trades of Beauty signed $20. Not a piece. $20.
Yeah, that's maybe 25 in stores. So,
I mean...
The guy knocked $5 off and signed them both.
Yeah.
Stupid IDW.
I don't know. Ah, whatever. It is what it is.
I agree. I was disappointed, even though I was glad to see IDW there. Xenoscope, they had a big booth. Not the biggest, but it was big. Valiant, they had a big booth again. And Dark Horse was there this year, which I was also pumped about. But like IDW, their booth, albeit bigger than IDW's, was fairly small. And they were sold out of a lot of stuff by the time Saturday afternoon rolled around.
See, I think what I like about C2E2... And I can't say that no other cons do this, because it's not like I've been traveling the world to all the different cons. But, like, for instance, they now have the large, family area. They have Cosplay Corner. So, if you want to gather around and take pictures, you're not crowding up the aisles. But they also have, like, what's that name of that stage right in the middle of the con?
The stupid podcast super awesome stage where people whatever. Twitch stage.
There's a stage where the block where they just have they'll do interviews, they'll have artists up there drawing stuff. It's a neat little thing. I've sat in on a few before. They had a life-size King of Tokyo playable tabletop game. They have all kinds of tabletop games set up, and the amount of stuff there to do there, you'll never be bored. It's just between the panels are on a second level altogether, because you got to go upstairs, and there's even a third floor too that has some panels, I believe. But it's a gigantic show. It really is, and you'll never run out of something to do. There's always going to be something to pique your interest, I feel.
Yep, because actually, at one point, I'm walking through the gaming area, and I see these dudes in white shirts that say Asmodee Demo Team. I'm like, interesting. And they're all setting up different games, and this guy goes, hey, you ever played Splendor before? And I said, as a matter of fact, I've lost that game many times. And he goes, oh, you want to sit down and play around? I'm like, I will sit down and play around. So I got to play Splendor with the Asmodee Demo Team, which was fun. Got to meet some new guy from Madison that had never played it before, so I got to beat him, so that was pretty cool. But I found out that these guys are going to start showing up at a lot of smaller and bigger cons demoing games in Chicago year round, so that's pretty exciting, because they had a lot of stuff.
How do I get that job?
Work for Asmodee, I guess. So that was pretty cool. And another thing in the gaming realm, because I really went for two things. I went because I wanted to get a couple of game stuff couple of game things if I found them, which I did find the one main thing I wanted. But the other thing, I was like, all right, I'm going, not going to buy comics. I'm going to buy Matt Kent comics, and that is all. I'm not looking for Swamp Thing. I'm not looking for Batman. I'm not looking for Ed Brubaker. I'm looking for Matt Kent, specifically Mind Management, which is why I ended up at the Dark Horse booth, because they had one copy of Volume 1 left, which I got. And they're like, oh, we should have brought more. I'm like, yeah, maybe you should have, Dark Horse, you dummies. Anyway, so I'm at the Dice Dojo booth, which is probably the largest game representative at the show that's a retailer. And I turned into a salesman for 30 minutes, which was pretty awesome because some girl made a comment. I replied. Next thing I know, she's asking me questions. I'm answering questions. Then a guy goes, oh, well, you know about this. And then I'm literally like trying to sell games to people. I don't even work there. Kind of awesome. I'm like feeling like I'm a natural at this. I should be working at a board game store. Because I'm literally explaining. I'm like, this designer came up with this, 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 and this. And he's from Russia. And this guy came up with this. And he invented this mechanism. And this company, they started out as this, but they were bought by this guy. And they're like, oh, my God. And I was like, man, I love this. I should just fucking start working here and quit my job right now because this is where it's at. I'm way more excited about talking about board games than I am about talking about, you know, not board games.
Did we lose Chris?
I'm here.
I know. I'm just saying. We've been kind of stealing the show here, so. What did, I know you darted off to Artist Alley right away. Why don't you tell us about your day?
I saw Chip Zdarsky. He looks like a dad modeling for Gap. I saw Jolie Jones. Hot. Finally met Matt Rosenberg, which was pretty cool. He looks like he should be playing in Frail or name any Bloodlink hardcore crust band. And that's about it. Oh, got Matt Rosenberg to sign a couple of my books and lined up our interview with Matt Rosenberg for the podcast. So check that out, people. That will be happening next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And that was about it.
Sounds like you had an eventful day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to go.
Jeff Lemire wasn't there.
Yeah, he was.
What else?
Sick or whatever. Actually, since you're grabbing my stuff over there, grab that card. So back to when I was saying that, you know, I'm just going to buy silly stuff. I came across the booth of Daryl Young Designs. He's an illustrator. And he just had stickers and, you know, buttons and stuff like that. And there's actually some really neat, like, take any obscure cartoon character or comic book character for the last God knows how many years, and he's got a button or sticker for them for president with some cheesy tagline. I actually posted the buttons on my Instagram. If you want to go to Instagram.com/Slevin77, you can see them. He actually, I tagged him in it, and he was all appreciative. But he's got some cool stuff, and that was kind of my funny moment. I got a button now with He-Man's face that says, He-Man for president, I have the power. I don't know. I saw the booth, and I was like, dude, I like cartoons. Dude, these are hilarious.
Where is this guy from?
I have no idea. I didn't get that far into it. He was kind of busy, so I didn't really talk to him. But the main talking I did was, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I'm sure we're going to be podcasting it in the next week or two. But there's a board game coming to Kickstarter in about 2 weeks, and we are actually meeting the creators this weekend to pick up a prototype so that we can test play the game. And who knows? Maybe great things will come of it. We'll get into more detail with that later, I think, when we podcast the game. But anywho, yeah, C2E2 is by far the best con in Chicago. There's nothing that even comes close. I mean, Wizard World could come close if they would slash their price in half, but they never will. It's It's too much of a.
There's enough small shows throughout the year. Actually, there's a new smaller show that's coming to Countryside in June.
Where?
At the Park District. There's a 2-day show coming up in June.
It's weird.
I forget what it's called, but I've been seeing stuff for it.
CountryCon?
now Art something Comic-Con.
Oh, I wonder if it's put on by Chimera.
I don't know, but I think they're going to be there. And there's a gaming convention in September at the College of DuPage. So.
Well, the only reason I mention that is because at the Guardians 2 premiere at Hollywood movie theater, whatever, up in the western suburbs up there, there's a whole like event that whole day to go along with it, sponsored by Marvel and, you know, Chimera, and it's there's a whole thing going on. I forget exactly what's all involved, but I thought it might be something we should check out. I don't know why I'm mentioning it on the air, but whatever, it is what it is. So yeah, as far as cons in Chicago, if you're from out of town and you want to come to one here, I highly recommend C2E2. It's generally in April every year, so you've already missed it this year. Don't waste your money on Wizard World. Please, please, please. Come check out C2E2 next year. I think Salty Language can vouch for it on that one. They came out last year, so just saying. But I don't have anything else, so unless you guys got something.
No, I mean, like I said, I didn't go for comics really this year. I went for specific comics, three of the four which I got. I almost got stupid with the Lock and Key things, but I decided if they're $50 retail, I don't need this pencil sketch covers.
Agreed.
I got my Orleans big box expansion, which is what I was super stoked about. I bought another game because I'm a jackass, and the guy talked me into it because I'm a jackass. And I got to be board game salesman for 20 minutes, so that was awesome. And I got to play games with the Asmodee demo team. So, yeah, that was pretty much all I would have wanted to do, really, because like I said, most of the time I end up going through boxes and boxes of comics, and this year I was like, I don't have it in me. I know what specific stuff I want. I've got way too much to read right now, so I don't need any more, but there's just stuff that I want, and I accomplished three of those four, so generally I'm content with my trip to C2E2, and yeah, I'll go next year and the year after, and pretty much every year I can afford it, so.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Definitely better than Wizard World.
Yeah, it's about the general consensus.
Yeah. That's the Comic-Con, as Wizard World is, I don't know what it is.
It's more of a celebrity fest almost at this point. Celebrity fest, yeah, and illegal cable boxes and gutters, you know what I mean? And I'm not lying. Last year we went to Wizard World in St. Louis, and yeah, they had the Hulk selling gutters, so... Pretty much anyone can get a booth.
An aluminum siding.
Yeah, yeah. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Well, at this point, you can't expect a Comic-Con to be a comic book convention. They're all basically giant pop culture events because they got to attract this
amount of
people they need. But the only the main difference for me is, aside from the price difference, which is obvious, Wizard World just has no shame. They'll let anybody buy a booth.
Yeah.
If you're a Nazi gun dealer, if you can pay for a table, they'll give it to you.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that no comic publishers are there for Wizard World is a big
flag. You'll get Devil's Due. You might get Action Lab. You might get some of the smaller ones that are going to pretty much do whatever conventions they can get into.
Other than that, it's just Uncle Creeper with his 37 long boxes of dollar comics.
Or the one time I went to Wizard World, some dude was selling his Playboy, Hustler, and Penthouse collection.
That's weird. Yeah, it's definitely a much different world over there at the Wiz World. But who knows? As we go to more of these smaller shows, I'm sure we will fill that void easily. So there you have it. C2E2, best show in Chicago. If you're going to come here, that's the one you're going to go to. So let's get ready for next week when we're back to our normal shows. And have a good week.